scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 23:1-7. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you.
Good to see each one of you here today, especially those who are visiting with us. We're delighted that you've come. You may be visiting from out of state, out of town, or from within our community. But we are delighted that you're here. We want you to come back every time you have the opportunity. We hope that you've already received a warm welcome from those of us who work and worship here on a regular basis. We assemble for worship to encourage, one another. But sometimes we get all wrapped up in things that are plaguing us. There are those who are weary because of illness. There are those who are concerned about family members that are ill. And there are those who are worried about and concerned about family that is away from them. Sometimes we're deceived by many things, and life does get us down. So we have to do a lot of work on ourselves. Some think that they just do not stack up, but you are important. You see, you were bought with a price, and we value items by the price that is paid for that item. On a piece of paper, there was a postage stamp. It was blue in color. It was dated May 1918. There was an airplane that was upside down. At auction, it was said, "What if I bid for this piece of paper?" The bidding went on, and finally, the final bid was $5,000 for that piece of paper with a postage stamp on it with an airplane upside down. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we need to remember this. If you are a member of the body of Christ, the church of God, remember that the church of God was purchased by the blood of Christ. Every bit of Christ's sweat and blood and love was for you on Calvary. Therefore, I'm suggesting to you, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, you are valuable. Look at the price that was paid for you. You see, He wants you to be a tool. Christ wants you to be His tool. And so we should be overjoyed in that relationship because we have been given the abundant life that is more than we can use. There was a lady who was so excited about this that she sang a song. I'm not going to sing the song for you, but I'm going to at least tell you a couple of free words that in the song. She said, "I got the world in a jug, Lord, and I got the stopper in my hand." She was really happy and really, really overjoyed. Well, what can we sing? We can sing, "I got the Lord in the world, I got the Lord in the heart, I got the Lord in the life. We're sitting on top of the world looking down on creation." Why? Because this is my Father's world. I will not be defeated. I will not. Well, Jesus Christ is my number one theologian. Number two theologian is Charles Schulz. He's the creator of the Peanuts cartoon characters, and Snoopy is involved in that. He uses these characters to communicate our struggles and our needs. And to be in the doghouse was a bad place to be until Snoopy came along. So one night, Snoopy's on top of the doghouse, and he's looking up into the sky, and he's saying, "You can't depend on others. Charlie Brown may feed me one day. He may not bring me some fresh water the next day. Lucy may scratch my ear today, but tomorrow she may slap the back of my head. And oh, does she give me a lot of trouble. You never know what's going to happen to me when I go out to play ball with the fellas. Life is pretty underdependable, and you never know what's going to happen. But he said, I know this one thing. I can come out here at night. I can get on top of this doghouse, and I can look up, and there you are. My star. That's my star. And all of a sudden, you move through the frames, and Snoopy's head begins to turn. And before you know it, it's hanging over the side of the doghouse. What's happened? His star has fallen. Things just don't work out the way we planned them. That's just the way it is. Just because we've been born again does not mean that all of life's problems have been solved. Victory, though, is assured us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Your faith. Our star has not fallen out of the heavens. We've got something that's very dependable and very reliable as we move through life. Christ is our loving Savior, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. He never will leave us, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. He is ours. I have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. We have His Word. We have so much that is sure and safe and positive. That's why we can serve and minister gladly. Snoopy's sitting on top of the doghouse. And he looks out there and he sees Secretary Woodstock sleeping in the nest. Looking down at Woodstock sleeping so peacefully, he said, oh, it must be nice not to have any strife, not to have any tension or problems or cares in the world. He's got it all made. And about that time, that little bird raises straight up out of that nest, wings out, tears in his eyes, and squalls out something, and then falls back down in the nest and goes back to sleep. And Snoopy says, well, he does have a nightmare every once in a while. Our nightmare is the fear. It's the fear of being the only one to do this or do that and being the oddball. That's it for a time. Our faith weakens. We're treated unfairly. We get discouraged. Yet Paul reminded the brethren at Rome, even if they were that way, he says, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Yet we wonder, what's my function in the body? A lot of people realize ask the question, but so many times the young people ask this question. They may be members of the church for a few years, and they wonder, where do I fit in? You see, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as it pleased Him. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 18, or 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18. And so young people could say, I can't be an elder, I can't be a deacon, I can't be an adult Bible class teacher, I can't be the church treasurer, I can't be the youth director. Where in the world am I going to be involved? Well, they are very much encouragers. They encourage one another just by their faithfulness and their exuberance and their enthusiasm. You see, Snoopy had his nightmares, and that was Red Baron. He was going to get Red Baron. He was going to do it. But then you see him dragging back. He got put down again, and he lost the fight. You see, our battle's already been fought. It's already been fought. I don't mean that we won't have some struggles and some knocks, because we battle with temptation. We battle with our temper. We flirt with negativism. But you know, we have a high priest who sympathizes with all of our weakness. And now at all points he was tempted like as we, yet without sin, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. So victory is ours. The battle has been fought. When you think about the Gethsemane and the cross and the empty tomb, we have this confident assurance as we're on top of life's doghouse. The assurance that Luke says, truly the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He's appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance to all that He's raised him from the dead. And so one who responds to God by obeying the gospel, the power is His. So what am I saying? What am I saying? We're on top of life's doghouse. Not in a negative sense. We're on top of the world. We've been raised to newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. The old has passed away. We have a different affection now, new life now to be used by God. We march to the divine cadence of a different drummer. No more excuses. We let our light shine. So we ask you, how are you today on top of life's doghouse? How are you doing? Are you happy? Are you joy-filled because of what you have in Christ? All those wonderful blessings that are in Christ and the price that was paid for you to be a member of the body of Christ and have the hope of heaven beyond this veil of tears. How are you on top of life's doghouse? Do you have a smiling face? Some people just need a hug. I was preaching not too long ago at a place, and after the service, a man came out and he was talking to me. He looked at me and said, "Brother Riley," said, "I just need a hug. Will you hug me?" I said, "Yeah, I'll hug you." So we hugged. Some people just need a smiling face. Some people just need a greeting. Some people just need to be recognized. That's all they need, maybe at the moment. So listen, talking about our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "Whom having not known you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." Do you have a glow about you because of what you are in Christ? Do you have a glow to others, to God? Happiness about you. It's about a relationship. Some people have made it into a bunch of do's and don'ts. But it's about a relationship with God. God wants us to have a relationship, and Christ brought that about. And so, who are you? Think about it. Think about who you are. You might say, "Well, I'm the quarterback. I'm 5'10". I'm the class president. I'm the owner. I'm the foreman. I'm the captain of the ball team. I'm the school teacher. I'm the student. I'm the employee." But think about it. Who are you really today? In Romans 8 and verse 16, Paul says, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God." 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Think about who you are. I can be on top of life's doghouse. This is my Father's world. We are the children of God. And there ought to be a glow about us. And we ought to be happy. Now then, the best way to be yourself is to forget about yourself. "Beautiful are the feet of those who move among others with a glow that we are children of God. We show it, we tell it, and we glow it. Our faces show it, our handshake shows it, our life shows it. Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say rejoice. Philippians 4 and verse 4. We're ambitious people. We want to achieve things. We put forth our best effort to succeed and strive for a goal. But there was one fella at one time, Peter Strudwick, 47 years old at the time, he had an unusual ambition. He ran a marathon, and he was going to run another marathon. And so this sports newscaster wanted to interview him. And so he came out, because they were in his town, he came out and he wanted to interview him. Something unusual about Peter Strudwick, he had no legs. He had a leather apparatus that he strapped on the lower part of his body. Then he had leather apparatus that he strapped on his hands. And he ran the marathon. That's 26 miles, 385 yards. And so as they interviewed, one question he asked Peter Strudwick, he said, "How do you do it, Mr. Strudwick?" He said, "I'll tell you how I do it. You just don't lean backwards." And that's us. We strain forward. To the mark for the prize of the high calling in God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, the world desperately needs what you and I have in Christ, the hope of glory. Our neighbors and our friends and our community need a real person that has been affected by this. And guess who that is? As a child of God, that's you. We cannot sell what we do not have or what we do not possess. We cannot convince the world that Christ means everything to us with the same dark, dismal outlook on life. We've got a glow and we've got a gladness. We've been taught that we might teach others. We've been led that we might lead others. We've been saved that we might help save others. We have a peace that passes understanding. Fellowship where we accept and love and forgive others. Talk to the community about a physician that can bring all that about. No one can do your work for you. You have to do it yourself. Your life, your example, may be the only Bible that some people ever read. As I say, it's a living translation. This fellow was a farmer. He'd only been to the small town where he would buy his feed and supplies for his farm. He'd never been to the big city. So he ventured out and went to the big city one day, and there was a big shopping mall, two stories high. He was awed by the size of the building and the size of the parking lot, so he goes in. And he sees these steps. You get on and they just carry you right up to the next floor, called an escalator. He said, you know what? He said, I've got one of those at the farm. He said, it's a thing where I put my hay down here and I can take it right up to the loft. And he walked around and he was just amazed at all of this beauty and the massiveness of this shopping mall. And he saw this one little room. It was sterile looking. It had no seats in it. It had a panel with lights on it. And he didn't know what that was for. And he saw an older lady walking along. She'd come marching across there just like a bulldog. And she goes in that room, and he wonders, what's she going in there for? She didn't have any clothes to change into. And all of a sudden, the door closes. And he hears a whirr and a bump, bump. It wasn't long until he heard another whirr and a bump, bump. And the door opened. And out walked the most beautiful, gorgeous young lady. He said, wow. I'm going to bring Matilda with me next time for that treatment if I have to sell the whole farm. The change that Jesus can make in you if you'll just let Him. And the world will take notice. The world will notice that. Because you see, you're on top of life's doghouse. The Lord wants you to show joy in your life. What we know, that can change us. Life will show it if we've been changed. We reach out and glow it. The world sees Christ lifted up in you and lifted up in me, and they'll be drawn to Him. You'll have an effect on the world as you live your life and conduct your business. Because they know that you're different. So we need to get on top of life's doghouse, and we need to stay there. Sometimes people get discouraged, and they want to get in the doghouse and hide. They want to rest because they're tired. They're overwhelmed. But God wants you as His tool. Listen to what He says to the Philippian brethren. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. You've been handed the baton. It may be that years ago you obeyed the gospel, became a member of the body of Christ, and realized that you were purchased with a wonderful price of the blood of Christ. And you were handed the baton. And the instructions were, run with patience the race that is set before you. And my advice to those of you who are older, and those of you that have run for a long time, please don't quit running. If you slowed down, if you're in the doghouse sitting there resting, and you're tired, and you're worn out. It may be that you say, I'm going to turn it over to someone else. Don't do that. There are people who are watching you. People watching me. My advice to you is keep running. It saddens me to know that there are some people who have quit. They don't run anymore. I see them laying around the doghouse, taking it easy. They've been overwhelmed with various circumstances, various issues that they've dealt with that have not been cleared. And they're tired. But yet there are those who want to begin their race. We encourage you. We encourage you to start, but you've got to start at the starting line. Others are still learning what is required of them and how it applies. I urge you to continue to study. Learn the importance of obedience and commitment. Maybe there are those who need to set the example for those who are watching you. Those that are close to you. Maybe you need to set the example today. Maybe you need to pick up that baton and continue to run. Maybe you need to get on top of life's doghouse and have a little joy in your heart and in your life. Unction in your gumption, pep in your step, smile on your face, prayer in your heart, song on your lips, that they may see that you have not quit. Because sometimes they want to get in the doghouse too and just lay there and just let the world go by. But you see, we don't have much time left to serve Him. We've been saved that we might help save others. We've been led that we might lead others. So don't quit. It may be that you quit. Maybe you need to just say to God, you know, God, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I need to do better. And from this day forward, I'm going to do. Maybe there are people who know about this. Maybe they see you. And they understand that one time you were really on fire. But now it seems like you're just in the doghouse. Laying around, keeping house, waiting on things to happen. It may be that you need to tell God you're sorry. It may need that you need the prayers of the congregation. If that would be the case, would you ask the congregation to pray for you? It may be that you're ready because there are those who have set the example for you. And you're now ready as a believer to confess what you believe about Jesus Christ, and that is He is the Son of God. You believe that with all of your heart. And as a believer, you're ready to die to sin, die to self, rule, bury the old man in the water grave of baptism, raised to walk in his life because you repented of your sins. And that's the courage of conviction of a believer. And then get on top of life's doghouse. And people, as they see you in the coming days, they'll say, what a change has taken place. Remember that lady went into that little room? What a change. Have you been changed? Have you tried to change back? Whatever the case may be today, the Lord's invitation is extended to you. To respond in obedience to His will. He bids you come. Then He just waits to see what you'll do. What will it be with you? You won't need the songbook. You won't need anything. Just tell people, excuse me, I've got to go up front. I've got some things I need to straighten out with God. Because I have not been on top of life's doghouse like I need to be. I haven't made the impression on people for Christ, for good, that I need to make. And God, I'm sorry about that. And I want to start my role. I want to start out fresh today. Maybe I want to start out new. And whatever way you need to respond to Him, the Lord says, come. Will you? If so, I'll meet you down front as we stand and sing.